Now, since we're talking about relationship, the one thing we know in the Bible is that God gave us the marriage relationship to teach us something about the relationship that there is to be between He, Jesus, the bridegroom, and us, the bride of Christ. So I'm going to start off with kind of showing you a little something about that. Now, I'm going to be Alexis today for a few minutes, and I'm going to be the bride, and Al is going to be the bridegroom, Christ. Okay? And I'm going to show you a little model of something between relationship. This is going to reflect some of our description of our relationships with Christ. Now, when Al came in to the marriage, I received a manuscript all about Al. And in this manuscript, it told me what he likes, what he dislikes. It told me his lineage. The manuscript described to me his thoughts. The manuscript described his expectation of the bride. I've got the manuscript. But what happens in the day-to-day living? Well, you know, it's been a hard day at work. I didn't come home. And I just want to tell you about my job. It really stinks these days. And you know, I don't know what to do. I've tried a bunch of different things, and there's just so much stress, and I just don't know what to do, and I really need encouragement right now. Now would be a good time. Okay, where's that manuscript? Now, some of us, we would describe our relationship with Jesus just like that. So one-way communication. And we really need some kind of response from Him. Because it's difficult to abide and grow in relationship if the communication is just one-sided. But you know what the Word tells us? The truth is, God wants to communicate to us all the time. In fact, David in Psalms 139 said that God's thoughts were with him when he was sleeping, and God's thoughts were with David when he awoke. And he described how beautiful they were, and then he goes on to say, in fact, they're so numerous that they're like sand, too numerous to be counted. Now, wouldn't that be great to have that ongoing communication with the Lord? Some of us experience a relationship like this with Jesus.
I just can't stand my job anymore. It's so hard with me. And then today, they came and they were telling me things that I did wrong. And no one seems to appreciate me. I just need encouragement.
Tú me entiendes que las cosas que Dios te dice. Que Dios te quiere, que Dios te ama, que Dios te quiere en tu vida.
I'm going to focus it really, really hard. Go ahead.
Dios piensa de ti a todo momento.
Now, Jesus was communicating to me, but I got very little benefit out of it because I didn't understand his language. I could sense that he was trying to reach through to me. I could sense that he wanted to be there and encourage me. But I didn't know his language. Many of us would describe our relationship just like that. Is that true? Is that true? Thank you. What a good sport. Now, why would we, the bride, have difficulty understanding the bridegroom? Because the bridegroom speaks to us through the Holy Spirit using a language of revelation. I have a question. Why would God speak to us using the language of revelation? Well, I can't, if I'm a American, he speaks to me in English. If I'm Spanish, he speaks to me in Spanish. He speaks to us in a revelatory language because we are revelatory people. John 3:3, Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You could not have been born into the kingdom of God unless the Holy Spirit brought revelation of the truth to your heart and opened your eyes to the truth. You could not even have believed upon Jesus without the Holy Spirit bringing you that revelation. Jesus goes on to state, in fact, a man must be born again of Spirit and water in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now, you didn't get saved by coming into mental agreement or consent with the Word of God. You came into the kingdom of God through revelation, and you will grow into the maturity of the things of the kingdom through revelation. You are a revelatory people. When we believed upon Jesus and the Holy Spirit came to indwell within us and live within us, in that moment, we became a revelatory people because the Spirit of God lives and abides in us. And God is Spirit, and He communicates through the language of the Spirit, which is revelation. John 4:23 says, God is Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, this scripture is not talking about two separate entities, spirit, truth, joined together. It's emphasizing the Spirit of truth. You can have the Logos, the written Word of God, and deliver simply the Logos and have good teaching because it's the truth. But it is the Spirit that brings revelation of the truth. It is the Spirit that opens your eyes and your spiritual ears to the truth. Why revelation? Because revelation comes to transform us, not just to inform us about who Jesus is. It comes to transform us into the likeness of Jesus. Why else would Paul pray to God for the Ephesians to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Because it was through revelation that the eyes of their heart were enlightened to the hope of their calling in Christ. You are a revelatory people. If we're going to commune and have relationship with Jesus, we're going to do it through revelation of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the agent of all truth. All right? Let's think about this. If we were to look at how God communicates to man throughout the ages, we would see that He spoke through His Old Testament prophets. He speaks through the Word of God, the written Logos, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He speaks through Jesus. He speaks through the Holy Spirit, through the revelatory gifts of the Holy Spirit, and through angels, who are messengers and servants of the sons of God, us. I would submit to you that all of these pieces across time have an element of the revelatory. But we're going to focus on one piece today. We're going to focus on the voice of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. I'm going to read it to you. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Now, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. So, in this scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit takes that which belongs to Jesus, that which is of Jesus, and gives it to us. How does he do that? How does the Holy Spirit take that which is of Jesus and give it to us? Well, 1 Corinthians 12 says that the Holy Spirit speaks through mental images or pictures, visions, dreams, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirits. Okay, well, let's look at one of these. Let's take mental images. With mental images, a good example, you were right, I should have had a bottle up here. Mental images. How does the Holy Spirit speak through mental images? Well, let's look at John 1:47. And this is a story where Jesus first meets Nathanael. Now, Nathanael is walking up to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Jesus had never met Nathanael before, but when he approaches him, he says, "Behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael, not having met Jesus, says, "How do you know me?" And the Lord says to him, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Now I would submit to you that the Holy Spirit had revealed Nathanael to Jesus. Jesus had a picture of Nathanael. And when he had that picture, the Holy Spirit also communicated to Jesus something about Nathanael's character. And that's what Jesus communicated to Nathanael. An Israelite in whom there's no deceit. That's one example of a mental picture. Jesus goes on to say to Nathanael, "If this surprised you, just wait until you see angels ascending and descending on the Son of God, the Son of Man." Because the Holy Spirit would take that which is of Jesus and give it to us. All right, what would this look like for us humble folk? We're not Jesus. Can we really have mental pictures? Yes, we can. I'll give you an example of one. The first time that this ever happened to me, I was in college. I had a relationship with Jesus. I would talk to him. I had some understanding. I'd never been taught on the Holy Spirit. I never even knew that the Holy Spirit could talk to you. I never knew that Jesus could talk back to you. So I was standing there in the kitchen, and I don't even remember what I was talking to the Lord about. I just remember it was one of those tug-of-war things. So I was in kind of conversations with him. And this was my attitude. And in the midst of that conversation, I had a picture form in my mind. And this picture was of a wild horse. And the horse, you know, he was very strong. I could see the muscles, and he had a lot of enthusiasm and energy and very strong-willed. And, you know, he would turn his neck and his mane would flow. I still remember this picture. And at the same time that I saw the picture, I had this thought come into my mind. The horse isn't of much use. If it's not willing to accept a bit and a bridle. And in that moment, I realized that the Lord was talking to me about my relationship with Him. That all that energy wouldn't do me a bit of good unless I was willing to come into submission under Him. Now that little episode, it didn't happen like where I'm standing and all of a sudden picture forms before me, and I'm undone, and I hear the voice of God. No. It looked more like this. I'm just grumbling, and then I'm talking to him, and I'm doing something on the stove. And then it was one of these scenes of, can you really talk to me? Is that God? And it was. The things of God, when He reveals things to us, usually stay with us. This is probably, oh my gosh, 15, 17 years ago, and I can still remember it. Now, if the Lord can receive mental images, can receive revelation given through a picture, and the Holy Spirit takes that which is of Jesus and gives it to us, then we can receive pictures. We can receive mental images that communicate something to us. Is that right? Nod your head. Breathe in, breathe out. This is good. You're still with me. Now, in order to do this, you're going to have to be like little children. You're going to have to be willing to look foolish. You're going to have to be willing to risk it with the Lord. You're going to have to be willing to be open. Raise your hands if you're willing to be like little children today. Okay, good. Now let me ask you something. Who is willing to allow the Holy Spirit to give them a picture? You are willing. Okay. Now, how many of you know that when there is a prophetic grace in the house, that it's very, very easy? And I'll tell you today, there's a very strong prophetic grace. God comes to confirm His teaching. Today's teaching is on hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit to strengthen our relationship with Jesus. And we're going to do this by actually experiencing it, because revelation transforms us. It doesn't just teach us, it transforms us. So we want to put ourselves like little children in the place where we can be transformed. Stand up if you're willing to have a picture from the Lord. You're willing to give yourself over and allow the Holy Spirit to come and give you something. Now, of those that are standing, how many of you are willing to share the picture that you get? Now, why would we share something like that? Because if someone else sitting in the audience can hear the picture that you're getting, and you're telling your story, and you were so surprised by it, and it was just so easy, what does that do in the other person? It builds faith. And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage one another. I've gathered some of the prophetic folks here, and what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask the Lord to communicate to you a picture that is a confirmation of what someone else is getting. So I want you to take out your pen and your paper and begin to write down what the Lord would show you. And what God's going to do is the Holy Spirit's going to come in here and He's going to give you pictures, and it's going to be very easy. And then we're going to bless you by having a prophetic person stand and say, yeah, I saw that picture and had the same thing. We're going to return to worship for a short while. And what I want you to do is just be open with the Lord, be willing to receive it. And I won't call on any of you to raise your hand, so feel free to raise your hand. You got a picture from the Lord. Okay. Let's start with the children. Do we have any children that got a picture from the Lord today? Did you get a picture? Oh, come share the picture with us. Pastor Lanny will help you. Awesome!
I'm thinking God standing in front of you, revealing Himself, and you having an emotional response is a good thing. Any other children? There's so many adults standing, I can't see your hands. Any other children have an image they want to share?
What about teenagers? Any teens? Young adults? Micah?
kneeling in water in worship, it was easy for her to stand back up out of that worship. When she stood up, there was molasses above her that stuck her standing away from worship. It was harder for her to kneel down into worship, into the water, which was easy.
An adult woman who finds it easy to be distracted out of worship.
Okay. Who else would like to share the picture God gave them? Okay, right here.
I just saw a snow-capped mountain with behind it was a beautiful, beautiful sunset. And like my favorite, it was one of something that spoke to me because I love where you see the sunset and you see these clouds, and through these clouds you have this hole, and in the hole you see this ray of light, and it looks like the Lord's just going to stand right there. And it was like that. It was just this beautiful, these just shots of ray of sunlight behind this beautiful snow-capped mountain. It's just that God's here, and like He's just, He'll appear at any moment.
Who else? Right here? Oh, okay.
Do you want to call on these prophetic people? Or they?
I will. I'm going to give one more person. Then I want to get hear from the prophetic folks a little bit. And I'm looking for some affirmation, confirmation of what you've heard already.
What I saw was actually a multi-sensory experience. It was, I saw the Lord up above us. And the colors were very pastel and very soft and very sweet. But there was a swirling going on. And within that swirling, there were angels. And they were dancing before the Lord. And their hair and their clothes were flowing. And with each one of the angels was one of us. And we were dancing before the Lord with the angels, choreographing what was going on. And I thought it was unusual because it wasn't lined up with the words of the song. It was almost the opposite of that. But I felt in my heart that the Lord was just confirming our worship to Him.
Some of our prophetic folks who received a picture.
What I saw was an image of an highway with red carpeting lit on both sides by lanterns and torches. And as I began to view this, a fog or a mist seemed to lift from it and move to the side. And the highway led to a large oak doors and what appeared to be the brilliance of God's glory coming out from behind the doors. And this glory was the very thing that we needed to stand in that and be changed. And suddenly, like a dragon or something of some sort of hideous creature stood in the path in front of us. And as we stood there and held our place, and invoke the name of Jesus over this thing, it began to be like a projector, this image. You could just walk through it, but it had no power to stop you. And this image represented the fears in our lives that prevent us from entering into God's presence. And He has no power, the enemy, to separate us from God. What the Scripture says, that neither life nor death or any other thing will be able to separate us from the love of God.
I saw a desert, and you could see a desert in front of you, but over on the side there was a lamppost that was about 6 feet tall, like the lamppost that you would see if you read the Chronicles of Narnia, and it was in the corner. And as we began to worship, and the more people began to focus on the Lord, I saw low-growing flowers beginning to grow over on this side, but yet the desert was still there. But you could, and I felt what was saying was, it's all in your perspective and what you want to look at. Do you want to see the desert, or do you want to worship and begin to see the other things that the Lord has for you?
Marilyn, you had something?
Mine was really, really simple, and I had the feeling that
because it was so simple that maybe somebody else had the same one and they thought it was too simple to be a picture. But the first thing I saw was just a little bunch of balloons. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember the movie The Red Balloon.
Ah.
A few of you. It was like that. It was like that red balloon, but it was a small bunch. And it just sort of floated up, this little bunch, and it just sort of was floating around. And I thought, I was really seeking God. What does the balloons represent? Racking my mind. They've got to mean something. I made up a few things, but I kept feeling like, eh. So what I saw was a picture of the balloons just sort of floating. And my sense was that we have influence in ways that we don't realize, like balloons sort of moving with the wind of the Spirit. But it was just a really simple picture, and I wondered if somebody else had that simple picture and thought, that's too simple, it can't be God.
Ah. Let's hear from you. I'd like to hear. I do. I want to hear the simple pictures because they can be the most profound and impacting. Okay.
Actually, it wasn't this morning. It was last night at about 2:30. And it was two or three balloons, but they were all pressing against each other. And that was it. And I figured when it was time, we'll know.
Cool. Cool. Way back here.
Had this, it was quick, it was simple, it was beautiful. It's like I was in a peaceful setting overlooking a lake. It was tranquil. The water was calm and clear. And what I kept noticing was this brilliance of the sun reflecting off of it. And it was just a very peaceful place to be. What does that mean? I don't know.
Sometimes when the Lord gives an image, there will be a sense of understanding that comes with the image. Sometimes you have to inquire of the Lord, what does this image mean?
Now, I'm like some of you. I'm kind of the left brain guy that doesn't think in pictures too much, so it doesn't come natural to me. I think that's why God has me teaching the course that I'm teaching in communion with God. It's an assignment, you know, God's growing me. But immediately when someone puts us in a prophetic environment, I look to Jesus, and so I'll start to picture Jesus there before me. And as soon as we said hungry, as soon as the worship team started to sing hungry, I could see the Lord standing before me, beginning to feed me. And it was like communion, and it was little pieces of bread, and it had been dipped in the wine, and He was just putting these pieces in my mouth. And so I just continued to worship the Lord as He put those pieces in my mouth. And I knew in my spirit that the Lord spoke a bunch of things all at once. And I remember hearing Pastor Landy, I think it was last week, talking about the Lord feeding the 5,000 and things like that. And He was feeding me, and I knew it was His Word. And the pieces of communion are going into me. And I continued to look into that picture. And I could see a picture of myself with all these elements filling my stomach. And then they turned to, started to glow, and I could see myself just worshiping the Lord as the pieces of His Word were in me and they were glowing. And then it didn't look like bread anymore. They looked like white hot, real hot red glowing rocks. And I knew that was the radiating power of the Word of God, and it was shining out. It's very powerful.
Good.
Now, of interest is to realize that while some of these images may mean nothing to you, because they came from the Lord, they mean something very significant to the ones who received it. And when those sort of things get planted in you, it's like what Rhonda was sharing moments ago. 17 years later, she can still see that horse very, very vividly. I've got things like that in my own spirit from over the decades where God showed up. And they're just as real and clear to me today, you know. And that's not what happens typically. But when it's in your spirit, you carry it with you always.
There were a couple in the very back.
Okay.
Some folks.
And then we'll release the children once we take these two in the back. Who were they? Robert? And Lois? Was Lois the other one?
The image I had was also that of a desert. It was terribly hot. The ground was parched and dry. There was a long drought, and the ground was crying out for water. And as the ground continues to cry out, a wind begins to blow. Storm forms on the horizon. There's lightning, thunder. And as the storm moves across the desert, a cool and gentle rain begins to fall, and the desert is restored.
This vision didn't come today. It was a few weeks ago. But it's very similar to what the gentleman over there that had mentioned. But the Lord and I were walking. We came to a beautiful lake. The grass was green. And it was very peaceful and beautiful. And we were having good conversation. And I told him I would do whatever he wanted me to do. I would follow him. And we kept on walking and kept on conversing. And when we got to towards the end of the lake, but there were, I noticed sharp rocks going across the lake. And when we got up to these rocks, Jesus started walking on the rocks. And I watched him, and his feet were bleeding. And I knew it was very painful. But I thought, well, I'll just walk around the end of the lake and meet him on the other side. And when I didn't follow him, he turned to me and he said, I thought you said you would follow me. I wanted to. I told him, I said, I will meet you on the other side. He said, I thought you said you would follow me. And you see, down here in the valley, we grow in the valley. But there are troubles, and there are obstacles that come in our path and come in our walk. And sometimes we get hurt. The Word says we will have tribulation in this life. And sometimes when things get real hard and we get hurt or things get rough and we think, well, is this really God's will? Am I out of His will because I hurt so bad? This can't be God. But you see, He has already gone before us and He has already made the way. And all He asks of us is to follow Him.
I'd like to release the children to their ministry area at this time. They can just go ahead toward the door. Let me point out to you that when you're dealing with images, images are rich in the Scripture, and often you will be able to ask the Lord for some explanation from the Scripture about the image. The use of water, and particularly still water, and the effect it seems to have on people should provoke a particular psalm for you. Something about He leads me beside the still waters. And what does He do there? He restores my soul.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you can see from the pictures that were shared with us, and the understanding that came from those pictures, that was communication. God was communicating to you. And some of you even went into what I would define as a vision. It's not just a picture, a snapshot. A series of pictures. It's a little mini movie. What does the Scripture tell us about visions? Well, one of the first examples we have is in 2 Kings 6, where Elijah and his servant are sitting and they're watching an army that has come to oppose them. They're watching this army approach. And the servant becomes quite agitated and nervous. And so Elijah prays to God that God will open the eyes of the servant. And when God opens the eyes of his servant, he looks about him, and on the hills are thousands of horses, and the hills are filled with chariots of fire. They were always there, but the eyes of the servant had not been opened to them. There is a spiritual realm that coexists with our natural realm. And we can ask the Lord to open our eyes and let us see what's happening. Now, in that particular example, the prophet prayed and the servant's eyes were opened. There's other examples. In Acts 10, when Cornelius is praying in the afternoon, the Holy Spirit gives him a vision. And in this vision, an angel appears before him. And the angel begins to instruct Cornelius to send two men to Joppa to get a man named Simeon, also called Peter. So Cornelius sends two men. He sees the vision. He turns aside. He engages or looks into the vision. He's instructed. Then he goes and does. Well, what's happening with Peter? Peter's also praying. Peter's on the rooftop, and as he prays, he sees this blanket being let down. And as the four corners unfold, in the blanket he sees all kinds of animals, four-footed animals, reptiles of the earth, birds of the sea, of the air. I knew I was going to do that. Birds of the air. Now, these are all animals that would be defined as unclean. And so the Lord begins to speak to Peter through the vision, and he says, "Rise, kill, and eat." Peter doesn't understand that. How could you, God, be telling me to rise and kill and eat unclean animals, because that's going to make me unclean? This doesn't make sense. God goes on to tell Peter that two men are coming for you, and you're to go with them. So Peter leaves, not understanding the vision, but he obeys. He goes to Caesarea. And it is in his act of obedience that he comes into an understanding of what God was trying to do. You see, God was showing Peter the prejudice that was in his heart against the Gentile people. And it was only when Peter went and preached at Cornelius' house and shared the gospel with the Gentile people that he came to understand that he was not to call unclean that which God had made clean. And he was transformed by the revelation of knowing that the Gentiles would also share in the inheritance. So we have a vision where the eyes of the servant are opened and they see what is in the realm with them. We have one where the servant is instructed and goes and obeys. And we have another where he has the vision. He doesn't have understanding until after he obeys and is changed in the process. What would a vision look like today? You've seen a vision. We've had some visions shared here. But I'll share with you an example of a vision that I had that I didn't have understanding for. I don't know how many years back this was, but I went up to Pastor Lanny. I put my hand on him to pray. When I put my hand on him to pray, I saw this donkey, little old donkey. And across the back of this donkey were two huge burlap seed sacks, just full of seeds. In fact, they were so full that the seeds were just spilling out of them. And the donkey began to walk. And as he walked, I noticed he was walking across a map. And this map had borders. And I just knew that he was walking across countries. And the seed was spilling out across these countries. I didn't know what it meant. So I just took the vision and I shared it with him. Do you remember that? Okay. And it had great impact on his life. Well, I remember what he said. Because I said, okay, I see a donkey with seeds, and he's walking. Pastor Lanny was going to go to a conference. I think it was in the Ukraine or one of the countries. And at this conference, he would be teaching. And there would be many people coming from the surrounding countries to that conference. And they would be taking the seed that he was delivering, form of the truth. They would take that seed and they were going to take it back to their countries. And that was the meaning of a donkey walking across a map scattering seed. Made perfect sense after he had said, oh, well, that makes sense to me because. So what that means is there'll be times when you get a vision, you want understanding. Your job is to share it with someone that you might get it for. Now, did you see how easy it was to get pictures? It's just that easy to get a vision. Just that easy. We're going to return to worship. And I want you to open yourself up. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a vision, something to share with us. Or a vision just ministers to you. All right?
Christ with open arms like a cross. He's alive. Each one of us taking turns, one by one, going up to him for prayer, but instead he just takes us in his hand, with his hands down from the motion of the cross to fully engulf us in a most massive hug you've ever felt in your life. Everything you think, you know, your brain tells you, your sin, hidden or not, melts with God's hug, and from that I got total rest and total abandonment.
Three affirmations. Where God, his disposition to us, is to open his arms wide and receive us, hug us, encourage us, and even have a little fun by dancing with us. Who else? Who else had a picture? Rich? Thank you.
It's a vision probably not just now, but I've always had in the past. But what I keep picturing a lot is, and even now, is a Jesus sitting upon a white horse. And he is magnificent. And we're in a battle. It's like a battlefield. And we're fighting out there in the battlefield. And the enemy's out there. And you're swinging away. You're getting tired. And then what you do is you turn around and look. And what you see is Jesus sitting upon a white horse and winds blowing. And he's sitting there with strength. And you know that. And then what you realize as you look there is like, you know the battle is already won. And you're sort of like trying to finish the job. And you're tired and you keep looking back to see what's going on. But you see him sitting on a white horse with strength. And his white robe just still kind of waving and with the wind upon a hill. And it's like a fortress and strength just emanating from there. Mm. And I feel like he's not saying anything, but you get the sense that the battle's won. And if you're down, you get up and you go. Because he's there, he'll be there. Don't lay down, get up. Mm. And keep fighting. Get up if you go down again. Get up again. Go. Get up. Because you can do it. Because I'm here and I'm the strength. I'm your strength. And you go. And he just sits upon a white horse. And then when we begin to finish his battle before him, he will begin. I don't know. I'll get this mental picture of like maybe perhaps kind of like that brave heart, you know? As we fight and win the battle, as things are moving forward, his horse begins to come into the battlefield. You can almost hear that thumping noise coming down with his host of angels and army just trying to wrap things up. The battle is already won, and we're there to finish the job. And that's what it's about. And coming back to the hardship, yes, there are hardships in life. That's fact of life. But you know what? We as Christians, as believers in God, we're not to be wimps. We're supposed to stand up when we fall down. When we get down, we're supposed to get up and keep marching, because Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior, he sits upon a white horse, and he is our strength and our fortress. Those are the pictures I constantly get.
Amen. Victory. It also describes our daily life, isn't it? He is our source of strength. And depending on what we're able to do, we have to look at the right perspective. We got to look back at him. And then we can get up again. There's a whole teaching in that. Do you know that when we get revelation, sometimes there can be a whole teaching embedded in that? Wouldn't you rather learn by having your personal picture that's spoken in your language that you can connect to, and then having the Holy Spirit explain to you what the personal picture is, and you walk away full? You walk away with an understanding greater than what you could have gained had someone just come up and said, "Let me tell you what I think." Who else had a vision from the Lord?
In the first section, I had this vision of a boat. Just all I saw was just the bow of a boat going through the plowing through the water. And then during our second session, and these were not real distinct or vivid images, but the second time was a sailboat and raising the sails. And as I reflected on this, the boat is like the ark of God, the body of Christ, a church. You know, sometimes churches are compared to boats and arks. But as we plow along, we have to raise our sails in order to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. And to me, that's like, you know, raising the sails of our heart. We have to be willing there to catch that wind. The Holy Spirit, he's blowing there. Unless we raise our sails, we're just going to sit there in the water.
Excellent example. You know, a sailboat goes where the wind blows. It's powered by the wind. It's powered by, and often the wind is Holy Spirit. I had a picture. Just a simple one. A bicycle. A little kid on a bicycle riding down the sidewalk, and they first started with training wheels, and then they kept riding. Before they knew it, the training wheels were gone. And they never knew it was gone. We have a beginning today. And we as a people, if we just keep riding, pretty soon we'll lose our training wheels. And we'll get better at riding that bike. Who else had a vision? Mary?
I saw a little woman, and she was wizened and ragged and bent over and wrinkly, and she had like a babushka on her head, and she was barely able to walk, and she was carrying a basket that looked very incongruent to this picture. And she had it held and raised up, and it looked like one of those zillion-dollar Longaberger jobs, you know, just really fancy sort of basket. And then the Lord allowed me to see her as she approached him, and through his eyes, she was vibrant and healthy and whole and standing up and approaching her king, and her basket was made of gold. And the Lord's desire is for us to see us as he sees us. But he honored her as she came, regardless of what she thought of herself, regardless of how she was dressed. She came as she was. She brought her best basket, experienced. expecting the best, and the Lord gave her everything.
Does that bless you? That you can come all raggedy, and the Lord will receive you in your raggediness? Is that a word?
It is now.
It is today. He will receive you in your raggediness. Does that encourage you? Some of our prophetic folks. Alexia.
During the first worship session, I heard it first and then I saw it. I heard the Lord say, tell them to come to me today. Today I will say yes. And then I saw him open his heart and start handing out. And he said, the things that I have for them in my heart, I will give them today. And I'm going to share the second one because I really believe that it's for someone or more than one person here. The Lord started to let out of his heart liquid light, and it started to pour into something that was very dark, and you couldn't tell until the light hit it that it was a heart. And it's not dark because of evil, it was dark because of sadness. Mm-hmm. So the Lord is pouring liquid light into a sad heart.
Amen.
Of specific application, I'd like to call attention to whomever it was that had the vision of the white elephant. Some distance away was the white elephant, and the elephant speaks of royalty and strength and ability, and in its context, it's the bearer of blessing. And I had the sense that there was someone who wanted the Lord to draw near as much as he wanted to draw near, but were withholding themselves on the basis of a sense of inadequacy, insecurity, and fear. Alexia just admonished us that the Lord says that whatever it is that's in your heart, he'll grant you today. So this might be the day for you to step a little bit closer and watch him respond, because as you draw near, he will as well.
Let's take one more. Who has another vision? Okay, Dave? Or Louise?
As soon as we started to go into that second time, what I saw was like, this area sort of disappeared, and there was a giant rock with a huge sword that came down into it, and I could see the horizon behind it. The sword was glowing, and there was like mountains in the sky, and where the horizon meant, it was bright and brilliant, and I had the sense that it was the light of the Lord that was shining down into the cross that made it glow. And then as I just waited on it, the sword changed, and instead of being implanted in the rock, was like it was just laying on top of the table there. And my sense from the Lord was that he will bring the revelation of his sword, which is his word, but then he lays it there and he wants us to come and pick it up, that he'll bring us all this revelation, but if we don't go and pick it up, then it just lays there.
What good does it do us if we are a revelatory people, but we do not give ourselves to the training of our spiritual senses? How will we benefit from being a revelatory people if we're not willing to pick up the sword, if we're not willing to train our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit? If we're going to continue on in the kingdom of God, if we're going to grow in maturity into the things of the kingdom, it will be through revelation. And you don't step into revelation by simply looking at it. You have to become a participant with the Holy Spirit. Just like Louise gave the example. We have to be willing to pick it up and take a look at it. Alexia has reminded that the Lord is willing to just give from his heart today. All we have to do is ask. I haven't seen anyone roll in pain today because of what a vision or what the Lord did to him. All I've seen is blessing. Out of curiosity, Did anybody see an angel today? Louise, describe that angel. Where was he standing? Sorry.
I felt him first. I was just kind of sitting here, and all of a sudden I was aware that something came in from the right, and I was aware that it was an angel. And I wasn't sure at first. I just knew he was there. And then as I waited, the Lord showed me he was carrying things, and they were gifts for us, and they were blessings, and he was just delivering stuff. Kind of a, I don't know, big guy, kind of drapey stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to affirm Louise, because when I walked in today, there's an angel standing right there. He's a big guy, and he has draped over himself in this direction a sack of stuff to give us. He's not the only one. He's not the only angel with us today. There's others to be seen. All we have to do is ask. And God will show us. You know, I heard a lot of you talking about, and I heard the Lord say, and I heard, Alexius gave us an example of that today. She heard the voice of the Holy Spirit of what he wanted to say to us when he said, tell them. What do we know about hearing in the Word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I would submit to you, hearing by the Word of God is hearing what God is saying in the moment about his truth. When he reveals in the moment and speaks to us in the moment, that builds our faith because we're transformed by the revelation of it. We come into an understanding that changes us, and that builds our faith. How many of you were encouraged, had your faith encouraged today, that so many people could see or hear? How many of you received a picture or a vision today that encouraged you? Just you personally. You might not have even shared it, but it encouraged you. Good. We need this kind of encouragement as we go on in our relationship with the Lord. This is what two-way communication is all about. Making sure we know that we're not in it alone. And when we say, I didn't encourage him, he encourages us. He has something to say to us. Now, there's another aspect we haven't touched on, but I'd like to touch on it as we go into the ministry time. That's the word of knowledge. How many people, well, let me tell you what the word of knowledge is. The word of knowledge is what you saw Jesus do when Nathanael walked up to him and Jesus said, behold an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. He had knowledge about Nathanael's character, and that knowledge was given to him by the Holy Spirit. So the word of knowledge is knowing something about someone else or a situation when you would have no natural means of knowing it. And usually it looks like something where the Lord gives you a word of knowledge for someone. And I'm trying to think of some of the things that were shared today. Well, Pastor Lanny shared one, encouragement for someone to come up. Another might be if you reach forth to pray for someone, you see that the Lord wants to encourage them. I'll say one thing. Marilyn, during worship, I looked at you, and I understood that the Lord was going to have you look at the Word, and then he was going to give you code, the code behind the Word. Have you ever seen on the computer where you have what you've typed up, you've written out there, and then you hit view, and you get to see all the codes, the, you know, the indentions, and the this, that, the highlights? Well, he's going to show you the Word, and then he's going to show you the code, an even closer look. word of knowledge might be that I've never met someone. And I might say, you know, I just sense that you have three children and your second born is going through some struggles. But God says it's going to be okay. Those are types of words of knowledge. And words of knowledge, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are very important. Because we are in a battle. And we do get tired. And sometimes we do need one another to help us to stand back up in the strength that the Lord is providing. And He can provide that strength and encouragement through the Holy Spirit. So I want to go into a time of sharing words of knowledge for one another, for encouragement, a ministry time. I'd like for us to return to worship for just a short time. And I want you to ask the Lord, I'm going to ask the Lord, to give you a word of knowledge, a word of encouragement for someone. To put them on your heart and give you a word of encouragement. In front of you. Just write it down real quickly because we're going to come back to that. But I want to turn aside. Pastor Lanny wants to take us into something with communion.
The language of the Holy Spirit is images. When you understand that, you see the Bible in a whole new way. And as we have experienced today, you begin to appreciate the communication with God, the Holy Spirit, in a very fresh way. Now, I'm fully aware that there are those of us here who would not consider themselves intuitive in their relationship to God. They're very didactic, they're very line upon line, precept upon precept. I accept that as the rational experience of the human soul and the framework with which some of us are constructed. However, the language of the Holy Spirit is imagery. And as we have seen on many occasions this morning and others that we did not speak to, He will communicate to us in pictures and simultaneously with understanding so that He can capitalize on our learning abilities and our sensory nature. It's not uncommon that when you have an image, you also get an understanding and you experience a sensation. How many of you can remember those emotional encounters with God that were life-changing? Why do you remember them? Because He's constructed your system in such a fashion that He can both log into your memory banks rationally and picture in your spirit those things He was trying to communicate with you. Because as Rhonda said earlier today, when the Lord comes with revelation, it's not to inform you. It is to transform you. And when you look back on each of those occasions of supernatural encounter with God that's logged in your memory and still alive in your spirit, you can say on the basis of that encounter that you were changed into His likeness. You're a different person on this side of it than you were before He met you there. In the same way that Peter got confronted on his spirit-filled, tongue-talking, water-walking, miracle-working bigotry, he was changed into another man. Now, we have an image before us on a regular basis, and that image is the bread and the cup. Lest it be just religious ritual, we have to appeal to the Lord for the revelation of the image. Now, I want to speak specifically to those of you who do not image, and I want to suggest something to you. We've learned over time that sometimes a person has difficulty imaging because of earlier traumatic experiences in life. And as a matter of self-protection, to not revisit whatever that trauma was, you've just shut down that area of your being. You don't imagine things, you don't dream, you don't picture things, and it's all defense mechanism based on a wound from a traumatic experience. I want to invite those of you who are like that as we participate in communion together today, that you would consider bringing that dullness of visual capability in you, that thing that you have turned down because you didn't want to be traumatized in your sleep anymore, you refused to engage God in a visionary capacity. I want to ask you to invite Him to take this communion moment to bring healing to your soul, and healing to your memories. Let's give God an opportunity to engage our life with the fullness that He intended for us to be engaged in Him by God the Holy Spirit. Does that sound like a reasonable request? Now, I'm thoroughly aware that when we get into these subjective realms, there are some among us who become very cautious and not necessarily judgmental or cynical, just not yet persuaded. That's okay. I'm going to spend the rest of the year changing your mind. So I want you to relax about the next few moments, and I want you to anticipate that some of you are going to be called by the Lord in a very specific way through the word of knowledge for the very purpose of releasing faith within you so that you would step up into the things that He has for you. We have this admonition from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians that's very specific to every generation. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, what treasure is it that we hold? It is, in fact, God the Holy Spirit on deposit within each one of us, His desire to express His character and His power through us, and we have the conflicting purposes of our rational mind and our soul. That's the treasure in the earthen part. But it's for a very specific purpose, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ in time and space. And He's fully prepared to exercise Himself, His graces, His powers, His understanding through us if we will learn His language. As we come to the communion table, I want to remind you and our guests that this is an open communion. What that means is you don't have to be a member of a church to participate in it. It's the Lord's table. And if He is your Lord, then for heaven's sakes, come to His table. If He's not your Lord, then get that settled today. If you're not born again, well, then ask Him to touch you in the way that He touched those other people and begin a relationship with Him that will be, well, a lot more exciting than this Sunday morning service, and this ain't been bad. Let me encourage you to stand. Our ushers will dismiss you to the front if you'd like to. Tell you what, for the sake of time, why don't you go ahead and bring your tithes and offerings with you. The offering today is for the needs of the saints. You know what your tithe is about. We'll have communion together. We'll give the words of knowledge, and then we'll fellowship around food. So please come. Process to learn that if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. And whenever I was tasked with those kinds of test questions, I always thought, oh Lord, please, please let A equal C. Please, please, please. I'm going to read a negative statement to extract from it the positive element. So please wait for the positive element and don't buy into the negative element. But there's something here that sometimes lies hidden from people's immediate sight, and I want to bring it into view. Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, concerning the communion table of the Lord, says this, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. He doesn't mean sleep in church. He means sleep, the sleep of death. Now, the disposition, the primary application of the Scripture has to do with making sure that you come to the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in a proper fashion. And if you don't, there are certain consequences. One of those consequences is sickness. Another is weakness. Another is premature death, if you do it unworthily. Now, what would you anticipate the A equals C to be if you do it in a worthy fashion? You should anticipate strength and healing and long life. So for those of you who are in your body sick this morning, and you can just spend a moment with the Lord and make sure it's not a sickness associated with unforgiveness towards someone in the body of Christ or any of those other things where you, rather than humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and his people would exalt yourself, pride, etc., being the thing he resists, humility being the thing that he gives grace to. If you can be assured in your own heart that there's not some relational thing the Lord might be trying to get your attention to, then let me ask you to let faith rise in you as you take the elements of the life of the atonement of Christ shed for you. And in that atonement is your health. By his stripes, what? For what reason? Because we're people who need healing. And when it's not a relational issue, it's not an unforgiveness issue, it's not a planning something wicked in your heart against another brother issue, we don't have to be concerned about the judgment part. We can appropriate the healing part. Because his body and his blood were shed for that very purpose. Father, we hold in our hands the testimony of the tribute of your love for us. Christ's own blood poured out, his body broken for our complete redemption in spirit, soul, and body. And this morning we appeal to you for healing grace, for the miraculous intervention of the resurrection power of Christ within us, that the Spirit of God, in accordance with your word, would bring life to these mortal bodies in which he now tabernacles. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the body. We thank you for the atonement. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for the promise, and we take it in hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and eat it.
Okay. Go ahead and pass your cups to the aisle. All right. We're going to wrap this up by doing this. I'm going to ask the prophetic folks to take a look at their notes, because I've seen them all morning long, just scurrying. Those that are sitting here, I'm going to ask you to stand up and give me one sentences, one-liners about what you saw. Very much like what Marilyn did, where she said, "I saw a red balloon." And that was a testimony to someone else. Yeah, they had seen three red balloons. It meant something. I'm going to ask them to give these one-liners. And those of you that, "Oh, my gosh, that's what I saw," or "that means something to me," I just want you to stand up and make eye contact with the prophetic folks. Okay? Pictures. What did you see? Do you have some one-liners that you can give me?
Give it.
I saw my life in a photograph book, scenes out of all the different areas of my life, and I understood the Lord was showing me where he had been with me all my life and still would be with me in those situations I was looking at today.
Very quickly, I just saw a boulder that needed to be moved in someone's life.
All right. Who saw a picture of a rock, a boulder?
Anyone?
If you hear that echoed up here, I want you to find these folks over lunch and talk about it.
I saw a wedding ring set, and there was something missing. A promise or a vow was had been slowly deteriorating.
Wedding ring?
A wedding ring set.
Well.
I saw someone hiding in a tree.
What?
A tree.
A tree. Nikki.
I have two because people left, so I'm filling in for them. This one saw a soldier in the worst battle imaginable, and he also saw the Lord coming, and I myself saw a window opening and a breeze blowing through. I also saw a large screw, and there's a long
cord. Joshua, you got something?
I didn't really see something, but it just came to me that I drew a plant. And the plant went through some stages, like it got caught on fire, and then there was this one plant that was trying to keep the plant alive. It almost failed, but it kept on growing. And then at the end of the cycle, it kept the plant alive and it grew more. It had more leaves than it started with.
Thank you, son.
Okay.
All right.
Now, if any of what they have shared pings on something that you saw or that pertains to you, for example, I'm going to give an example. Nikki said something about an open window, a breeze blowing through it. I've been seeing that thing for days and have yet to come into an understanding. So you better believe I'm going to be finding Nikki at lunch because that pertains to me, something about me and maybe others. So find these folks when you're eating lunch and have a conversation with him. Now, how many of you received a word of knowledge for someone? That was the last thing we did. We said, write it down. If you've received a word of knowledge for someone, raise your hand. Okay, I want the prophetic folks to come line up here for me. And those of you that received a word, come, please, come, yes. Those of you that received a word of knowledge for someone, I want you to bring that word of knowledge and share it with one of these folks. And after you've shared it with one of these folks, then you can go and get the person that you got the word of knowledge for, go get them, and bring them back to you and the prophetic person and share the word. Okay? Now, how do we share a word of knowledge? If we have a word for someone else, how do we share that? Well, the word has to be encouraging. It has to be edifying. It has to build the other person up. It has nothing about condemning or correcting or discouraging them. And we don't go and say, shove this word down their throat. No. We submit it. Just like when Jesus washes our feet, it's a humble position of submitting it. So, you know, I think that I got this from the Lord. Can I share it with you? You share it with him, and then you may say, does that ring a bell with you? I mean, does that? Okay. Well, let me just give it to you. You go to the Lord, and thanks for letting me share. Okay? So, if you had a word of knowledge for someone, come up and begin to share with the prophetic folks. Now, those of you who wanted prophetic ministry or wanted someone to pray for you today, I want you also to come up. If you needed encouragement or someone to pray for you, I want you to come up. Did our prophetic folks have words of knowledge for other people? Is there anything that stands out that you received that we need to call people up to respond to? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to call a few people up. Barb, I have a word for you. Jason, I have a word for you. And this lady right here in blue, I have one for you too. Okay? All right. Yeah, so I'll share it with you during ministry time. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to some ministry time. And, Pastor Lanny, do we want to dismiss?
What I want to do is get them to check out their words or not. It's claim the people that they need to give it to, and then we'll release the rest.
Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is these folks are going to check out their word of knowledge with some of the people who have been in prophetic ministry. Then they're going to turn and go get you if the word applies to you and bring you back up. And at that point, Tom, we're going to release you guys downstairs. So check the word out. The word checks out, go get the person. And we'll just return to a little bit of worship, and then we'll release them.
I just want to be where you are. Be